Chapter 12, If I Forget Thee, O Jerusalem. Revelation 12 and 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Before we embark on our analysis of the symbolism in Revelation 12, 1, it's crucial to establish a foundation. We'll do this by examining the story of Joseph and his dreams as recounted in Genesis 37, 3 through 11. This narrative serves as a key reference point, shedding light on the symbolic language used in the Bible. Genesis 37, 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9, And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Joseph's dreams, as depicted in verse 5 and then again in verse 9, were enigmatic to his family. However, a deeper exploration of Joel 2 reveals a profound truth. Our dreams are not mere figments of our imagination. They are a divine gift from God, a sacred channel for him to communicate with us and unveil his plans and purposes. This transformative aspect of dreams is a significant thread in our interpretation. Joel 2, 28 through 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servant and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will shew wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Joel 2 further illuminates the divine nature of dreams and visions. Jehovah God communicates his design for his people through these ethereal channels, surpassing human comprehension. These revelations, whether accepted or not, stand as a testament to the awe-inspiring nature of our Creator. Returning to Revelation 12 and 1, we encounter a striking sight, a woman adorned with the sun, the moon at her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This image, though extraordinary, holds a profound meaning that we must decipher for our readers and hearers. As we observed in Joseph's dream, we were given a glimpse of what we now encounter in this 12th chapter. God always lays a foundation to reinforce his future actions. The dreams Joseph had initially misunderstood by his family were a prelude to God's plan for Joseph. God's actions are consistent, and he does not make whimsical decisions. The way we start out is usually the way we end up. The way a journey begins often foreshadows its end. The dream that Joseph has received from on high is prophetical, and that it will reemerge in various instances that relegate it to the hand of God. What has been confusing some Bible students is that they have failed to recognize what the late Pastor Charles Nash has recounted. The mission and method will change when it comes to God, but the message will remain the same. The message is one of salvation through Jesus Christ in its myriad directives. Joseph's dream and that 37th chapter is not a one-off, as we see again in chapter 40. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you." Jehovah God is the revealer of dream, and he has his hand on Joseph as he foretells world events crucial to our understanding of the past, present, and future. The woman in the beginning of our study represents the nation of Israel, as in Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, instructed him, and kept him as the apple of his eye. Israel is the apple of his eye and holds an exclusive relationship with him. The scriptures clearly state that Jacob is the Lord's portion, a lot of his inheritance, and the apple of his eye. We must now examine the figure of the moon under the feet of the woman. As we have noted that the symbolic woman is Israel, we can conclude that since she is coming down from heaven or is highly favored by God, whatever exists under her feet is not heavenly but earthly. Therefore, and always know why therefore is therefore, the moon is representative of the earth. The moon being at the feet of the woman indicates the prominence of Israel over the earth, as in Isaiah 44:21. "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and glorified himself from Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." The future redemption of Israel is a foregone conclusion, as Rabbi Apostle Paul has earlier indicated that all of Israel will be saved. Jehovah God has not forgot the promises that he hath made to her, even though she would experience trials and tribulations for her backsliding. Revelation 12:2, "And she, being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." The Lord, who maketh all things, had prepared Israel, the tribe of Judah, to deliver unto the world Jesus of Nazareth, as it is written in Nehemiah 24:17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not tonight. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Revelation 12:3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his trail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the angel and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there any place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The great red dragon referred to here is also mentioned in verse 9 of the same chapter as the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. There isn't any mystery as to who the dragon is, but the adversary of old, which is Lucifer, foremost responsible for the heavenly rebellion of heavenly hosts who believed the lie rather than God and followed Lucifer in defecting from heaven. Although Lucifer has not yet been cast out of heaven, his heavenly authority has been limited since the rebellion. We read in Luke 10:12, where the Holy One says, But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethesda! For if the mighty work had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What Jesus was saying was yet future, as Jesus spoke about things that had not yet happened, specifically Tyre and Sidon at the judgment. The judgment that Jesus speaks of is now the judgment being referenced here in the book of Revelation. Too often, we have unjudiciously cast Lucifer, i.e. Satan, out of heaven when due process by the Lord of Light has not fully begun. Satan, Lucifer, is still seen and heard in the book of Job when the sons of God, the Benaha Elohim, are meeting. God respects the realm of certain authorities, and the authority given to Lucifer as overseer of the earthly realm must be rescinded as a matter of court. God, who has made the laws, is subject to his laws. All issues will be settled when Jesus makes his next appearance. Again, in Isaiah 9:6, it is said, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. The dragon attempts to capture and harm the child. Still, the Lord of lights provides a haven for the child, as we read in Matthew 2:13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. The Old Testament held the prophecy that Satan surely knew, and he was the cause of the prophecy, which we read in Genesis 3:13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Verse 15 clearly points out that the woman, whom we now know to represent Israel, will bruise the dragon's head, destroy his power, and bring him low. Israel's power will be felt through the church that the God-man Jesus Christ will raise up. War has now come to heaven as the archangel Michael of Daniel 10:12. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Michael and his heavenly host defeat the rebellious sons of God, and the entire lot is expelled from heaven and cast to earth. The earth has now become the threshing floor. Micah 4:11. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, Let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they now know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves unto the floor. The threshing floor was that flat parcel of land where the chaff was beaten from the grain. And the Bible says in Matthew 13:29, But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus warns men that at the harvest, here in Revelation, he will separate the wheat from the chaff, as none of us are wise enough to know who is saved and who is not. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The indictment of Lucifer, the great dragon, has resulted in him and his horde being sentenced to expulsion from heaven and cast to the earth, that place that he sought to rule through sinful men. the Lord Jesus Christ as his coming kingdom known to all, and the accuser will be punished. We discovered that the blood of the Lamb was against the dragon, for as it is written in Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there also must of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hand, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. It was not by the blood of goats and calves, but it was by his own blood that he entered once into the holy place and attained redemption for us all. For in the redemption, where we were one thing, but by the blood we became another thing. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy. It was and is the blood that has transformed us into the people of God, that God now will forgive our transgression. Micah 7:18 says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighted in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The wise man will discern the signs of the time and know that a reckoning is near, and hopefully he will be able to determine the times before they arrive upon him. The Bible makes every effort to warn men that Jesus will return and will hold everyone accountable, as 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Men may now assume that there will not be an accounting, but just because they don't believe there will be an accounting will not change God's mind, as his word is already established in heaven. Revelation 12:12. "Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and a times and a half time from the face of the serpent." The heavenly host continues his announcement, warning the inhabitants left on the earth. He announces that the earth's inhabitants will feel the full wrath of the dragon, for the dragon knows that his doom is right around the corner. He knows that he has lost the fight. this army of demons, imps, and evil men has now been adjudged guilty and will have to pay to the piper. The announcement is not a suggestion, but an actual condemnation. Heaven is now able to rejoice at last, for the dragon has been removed from the celestial homes of the beings who did not enter into the rebellion. They were aware of the dragon's betrayal, but could not act against him because of Lucifer's power and authority as an archangel, the cherub who covered the very throne of God. It would take someone of greater authority to bring him into submission. As we have seen, time is everything with God, but now time is ending as we approach the announcement of the kingdom of God and the end of the kingdom of Satan. Many would have us believe that Satan, that dragon of old, is already in hell. But the scriptures will not support such a theory, as we now read and know that his time to account for his treason finally is future. He is the prince of the power of the air, as he knows the boundaries of his powers and will use them heavily against the saints of the Most High. We can't expect the dragon to make full use of whatever is at his disposal to take as many with him as he can, as it has already been foretold. Yet we will find, as we do now, that men have itchy ears, and they will continue to believe a lie and be cast as reprobate. Revelation 12:15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of his seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And therein is written in Exodus 14:21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. Exodus 14:21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptian through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. An age-old battle for the supremacy of good over evil continues to play out as the enemies of the cross battle against a losing force, the power of the Almighty, and those who have chosen to keep his commandments. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.